This morning, we're in the fourth of a series that we're going through in the book of Ephesians, taking a look at understanding marriage from Ephesians chapter 5. And really, this morning is the first morning where we really get into the essential part of the text itself, beginning at Ephesians 5, verse 22. In this passage of Scripture, Paul deals very specifically with the roles and the duties of wives and husbands. And so over the next several weeks, we'll be taking a very in-depth look at this, really word by word, phrase by phrase. What we've spoken about so far in this series in marriage has been pretty general. But as we approach the heart of this great text on marriage in Ephesians 5, we really come to a place where there can be tremendous misunderstanding and misapplication. Let's read the text this morning. You'll see how this can be. Verse 22, simply put, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, this is the kind of text where you can get an enormous number of elbows and ribs from husbands to wives saying, "Hey, you know, look at this, sweetheart. Listen up, this is what the Bible says to you." And you can get the same thing from the other way when we get into the following text in the next several weeks when we talk about the duties of husbands towards wives. I think to really understand this text, we need to embrace some principles from the outset. First of it being, the Bible never presents its teaching on marriage in the way of setting expectations upon our spouse. In other words, the Bible never says to husbands, "Make sure your wife does this." Or it never says to the wives, "It's your job to make sure your husband lives up to this or to that." The instructions are given to each partner regarding what they should do, not what they should expect from their spouse. The great tragedy in so many marriages and the great stumbling block to many healthy biblical marriages is where both the husband and the wife perfectly understand what the Bible says they should do for the other. The husband has a brilliant understanding of what the Bible says the wife should do. And the wife has an incredible understanding of the Greek and Aramaic and five other ancient languages of what the husband's responsibility is. The problem is they're not focusing on what the Bible tells them to do. And so we need to understand that, we need to focus on what the Bible tells us to do. Secondly, we need to understand as well that I'm not trying to present an exhaustive teaching on marriage from the whole Bible. That's helpful and useful in another place, but what we're really getting at here on this series through on Sunday mornings is an understanding of marriage from Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I believe this chapter covers a lot of the ground of what the Bible says about marriage, but I'm not trying to spell out a whole biblical theology of marriage. We're just trying to get at the fullness of what it says here in Ephesians 5. And this is the third point. I do think we need to emphasize that this is what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 5. We want to leave our personal opinions, our personal perspectives out of all this. Here, it's the Bible that confronts us, not personal opinion. I'll be very honest with you. I don't believe that my personal opinion when it comes to marriage or married life is any more valuable than anybody else's personal opinion. Let's just leave personal opinions out of it and see what God says. Let's remind ourselves that marriage is not man's institution. Man did not invent marriage. God invented it. And God gave it to man as a gift. So we should listen to what the manufacturer says about how to use this marvelous institution. What God's word has to say is more valuable than any one of our opinions, mine, yours, or anybody else's. So we simply want to take a look at this text, piece by piece, word by word, and understand it. Look at it here, Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." How we really need to understand this. How can there be unity in a Christian home if the husband thinks, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord," means one thing, and the wife thinks it means something completely different? Then there is no unity. There's competition. There's strife. The husband has one expectation of what the wife's biblical duty is, and then the wife has a completely other expectation of what her biblical duty is. There needs to be a common ground. And it's not a matter of, well, you should take the husband's opinion or you should take the wife's opinion. You should take the Bible's opinion on it. You see, there has to be unity not competition, not strife, because it affects not only the marital relationship, it also affects the children. You know that, don't you? That the greatest thing that you as parents can do for your children is give them a good marriage as an example. Give them stability in the home. So there has to be this unity. And it's not just a matter of psychology. We just don't need to wave a magic wand over our marriages and say, well, let's just have a little common sense and a little wisdom, and you give 50%, and you give 50%, and we'll all just work it out from there with a little bit of give and take. No, you know, the people have tried that, and they can't practice it. There's only one hope for marriages, and that's to make God the authority in the marriage, and for people to submit themselves unto Him, and to do all things as unto the Lord, and to realize that Jesus Christ is the head over the family, and what He says should go. Let's take a look at what it says here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Well, the first word right there just kind of stops and gets our attention there. Wives. Why is it important that the wife should be mentioned before the husband? Well, let's make it clear that God isn't doing this out of politeness or ladies first kind of thinking. You know, it's not like you open the door for a lady on the way out, God saying, well, I'll speak to them first. No, it's not ladies first. Neither does it have the idea that somehow wives are the worst offenders in marriage, and so they need to be dealt with first. Let's get that out of the way. No, that's not it either. Matter of fact, it's oftentimes just the opposite. You know, if a marriage is troubled, the first place to look is with the husband. And certainly it's not the only place to look, but it certainly is the first place. I mean, God has given a man a role, a position of leadership, a position of headship in the family. When there's trouble, go right to the top. Take a look at it. See what's going on there. More often than not, that's the first place you should look. That's the first place you're going to see the problems. It'll be somehow with the husband's leadership, with the husband's love in the family. That's the first place to look. I don't mean to imply for a moment that if there's problems in a family, it's always the husband's fault. No, not at all. We'll talk about that in coming weeks. But certainly that's the first place to look. It's the first most likely place to find something. So then if it's not because Paul's just being polite with ladies first, if it's not because they're the source of the biggest problems in a marriage, then why does Paul put the wives first? Well, he's just concerned about this question of submission. Look at it here, how he continues in the verse before. Verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then in verse 22, he talks about submission again. You see, the principle was introduced in Ephesians 5:21. Paul's continuing on with this thought, saying, this is what the Spirit-filled life is like. He told us to be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. And then in verse 19, he says, if you're filled with God's Spirit, it's going to show itself in praise and worship to God. That's verse 19. If you're filled with the Spirit, verse 20 says, it's going to be shown in gratitude and thanksgiving to God. And then in verse 21, he says, if you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to show in submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, we talked about that in great depth last week. But here, Paul's continuing on, and he's just simply saying, okay, this is what it's like being filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, then you'll want to worship God. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be grateful to God. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to submit to one another in the fear of God. Now he continues on in verse 22, and he simply says, hey, here we go. Let me give you a specific area of submission to consider. And the same logic continues on. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5, he's dealing with marriages, husbands and wives. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, he's dealing with children and parents. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, he's dealing with servants and masters, or employees and employers. You see, when he talks about children and parents, he speaks to the children first. When he talks about employees and employers, he speaks to the employee first. Because his main theme, the connecting thought through these passages, is the idea of submission. Now, there's no question in verse 22 that Paul is carrying on the thought of submission. Matter of fact, in certain ancient Greek manuscripts, it's very clear, dramatically clear. In certain ancient Greek manuscripts, in verse 22, there is no word submit there. It just simply says, if I could read it the way it is in some ancient manuscripts, verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. I mean, the idea is clearly there. It just says here, you submit to one another in general. Now, wives, apply this to your husbands specifically in the Lord. The topic is submission, and Paul's focusing on this particularly important realm of submission from the wife unto the husband. It's as if Paul were to say this, I command you to submit to one another in a general way. Now, if you do it in a general way, how much more should wives do it in their own special relationship of marriage? So that's why he deals with wives first. So what does he say next? Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. What's that word submit mean? Well, last week we saw that this ancient Greek word translated submit is a military word. It comes from the army, and it means to be under rank. It has to do when there's a ranking officer, and you have to submit to that officer because of their rank. It isn't because they're smarter than you. It isn't because they're more talented than you. It isn't because of anything else other than they're in a place of authority above you. To submit means to recognize that someone has rightful authority over you. It means to recognize that you are part of an order of authority. You have a place in it. There's people below you, perhaps, in that order of authority. There's people, perhaps, above you in that order of authority. But you are part of an order of authority, and as part of that unit, as part of that team, you have to recognize that you, as an individual, are not more important than the team. You have your place to play in it. And so you need to submit your own individualistic desires and wants or needs to the good of the whole team. Now think about it in this terms. What does it mean to submit to God? It means that you recognize God's authority and you act accordingly. It's very simple, isn't it? Recognize that God is God in heaven. He's the creator. You're his creature, and you act accordingly. Fine, I submit myself to God then. What does it mean to submit to the police? Well, it means that you recognize the authority of the police and you act accordingly. Right? You recognize that God has given the police authority to help keep order in society and to punish evildoers. And so you say, okay, I recognize that. That's why when the red lights are on in your mirror, you pull over. You could speed on ahead and just get on the nightly news in one of those car chases that never seem to go anywhere. And you get the whole idea behind that. There's no point to that, is there? What does it mean to submit to your employer? Well, it means that you recognize the authority of your employer and you act accordingly. So in marriage, it's the same thing. To simply submit in marriage means that a wife recognizes that God has given her husband a place of authority. God has given her husband a place of headship. It's not that he took it. It's not that she gives it. God gives it. And the wife recognizes that and she acts accordingly. Now let me say two things that submission is not. Oftentimes we can understand what something is by understanding what it is not. Submission is not inferiority. For some people, this is an incredible stumbling block for them. For some people, in their minds, the connection between submission and inferiority is so strong that it just can't be broken. The way they think is that you would never submit to somebody unless you were inferior to them. You would never submit to somebody unless they were smarter than you, unless they were more talented than you. And so for many people, this means, oh, I must be inferior to that person. I would never submit. In the thinking of this world, there's basically two reasons why a person would submit. Number one, because you are inferior to the other person, right? They're smarter, they're more educated, they have more gifts and talents, they're more capable, so I would submit to them. The other reason why a person might submit is simply out of sheer coercion. Why will you submit? Because I'll make you submit. And I'll make your life so painful if you fail to submit that you'll want to submit. That's the way that the world thinks about submission. Biblical submission is completely apart from that. It's oceans apart from that in thinking. In biblical submission, you submit because you recognize God's order of authority. It's not because you're coerced to submit. It's not because you see yourself as inferior or the other person as superior. You say, God's established the order of authority and I'm going to respect it. You see this very powerfully illustrated in the example of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is known as God the Son of God. Jesus Christ has that position. Now, God the Father, as he relates to God the Son, has a position of authority in God's order of authority in the Godhead. And so Jesus constantly and continually and perfectly submitted to the Father. Matter of fact, Jesus said that he didn't do anything except that the Father told him to do. He was totally submitted to the Father. Yet the scriptures at the same time take great pains to show us that Jesus is perfectly equal to the Father, not inferior in any way. So equality and submission are completely compatible. No, my friends, submission does not mean inferiority. But let me tell you something else that it does not mean. Submission also does not mean silence. Now, in the minds of some men or in the minds of some women, that's what they think submission is. It's, shut up, woman, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I don't want to hear a word from you. That's not submission. That's a dictatorship. Any wise leader, anyone at all, in whatever sphere, government, business, even an athletic team, anybody who's in a position of authority wants to hear from those people that he leads. And you should feel free to talk. Communication is entirely, entirely compatible with submission. So submission does not mean inferiority. It does not mean silence. Let me suggest to you that submission simply means submission. In other words, there's a mission for your marriage. And that mission is obeying and glorifying God. And so the wife simply says, I'm going to put myself under that mission. That mission is more important than my individual desires. I'm not putting myself below my husband. I'm putting myself below the mission that God has for our marriage, for my life. And so I'm going to practice submission. I'm going to go below God's mission. You see, submission simply means that you're part of a team. Wives, if your family is a team, then your husband's the captain of that team. Again, he's not the captain of the team because you decided to make him captain. He's not captain of the team because he decided to be captain. He's captain of the team because God says he is. He might be a good captain, he might be a bad captain, but God says he's the captain. And so you have your place in relation to the captain, and it also means that your children have their place in relation to you. That's simply what it means. Wives, verse 22, submit, and then look at the next line, to your own husbands. Now this defines the sphere of a wife's submission, and that's to her own husband. We should be very happy that Paul put this in here and very importantly stressed it, that he says this place of submission between wives and husbands, between men and women, it's here in the marriage, right? It's not in society in general. We need to understand that the Bible teaches that there is no general submission of women unto men commanded in society. None. It's commanded only in the spheres of the home and in the church. God has not commanded in his word that men should have authority over women in places like politics or business or education or so forth and so on. No, none at all. And sometimes you'll hear men teach that. Sometimes you'll hear people imply it from the pulpit that that's nonsense. Nowhere in the Bible does it say at the workplace a man should be the boss and a woman should work under him. Or nowhere does it say that only men should lead in politics or in government. You know, one of the world leaders that I've admired most in my lifetime was Margaret Thatcher. Man, she could run a country. The good she did for the British Empire and for the United Kingdom. I have very fond remembrance of one time when my wife and I were visiting London. We had the chance to sit in on Prime Minister's Question Hour there in the Houses of Parliament. And it was back when Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister. And it's a marvelous thing where all these politicians are shouting and yelling at each other, making accusations and questions. And you should have seen Margaret Thatcher. She was brilliant, brilliant in the situation. What a great leader she was. Well, friends, that's entirely within the realm of the Bible. Entirely. Who does it say you should submit to, wives? Somebody else's husband? Men in general? No, look at it there. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. So women, don't let anybody tell you that you're inferior to a man. That somehow your nature or your emotional makeup or your physical strength or whatever, any of those things make you inferior. No, that's nonsense. Women are different from men. And men are different from women. But they're simply differences. It's not a built-in superiority or inferiority. Now, why? Why has the Lord chosen this sphere of marriage for women to be a place where wives submit when he doesn't command it in the area of politics or business or education or so on? Well, I'm afraid you'll have to wait till next week to get that. That's in verses 23 and 24, and we just don't have time to consider that this morning. Matter of fact, I feel almost guilty about it this morning, that really this is just part one of two parts in this essential subject. Today, I'm talking about what the nature of a wife's submission is. Next week, we'll talk about the reasons for it. And I praise God that he gave reasons. Isn't that beautiful of God? You know, there's a sense in which God doesn't have to do that. It's within God's rights to just say, I'm going to tell you what to do, and you just do it. I don't have to give you reasons. But God loves us so much that oftentimes when he asks us to do things, particularly things that are difficult, he says, let me give you the reasons. And next week we'll take a very in-depth look at the reasons why God says wives should submit in marriage. That's going to be a very important study for you to be at next week when we take a look at verses 23 and 24 in great depth. We need to understand verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Now look at it there, the last phrase in verse 22, as to the Lord. That's a very important phrase, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's a crucial phrase, as to the Lord, because it colors everything else that we understand about this passage. Now, there have been two main wrong interpretations of this phrase. If I could say, each one of the wrong interpretations sort of favors a particular position. The interpretation that favors, so to speak, the husband says that as to the Lord means that a wife should submit to her husband as if he were God himself. Right? As to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. You submit to God without question, right? You submit to God without reservation. You submit to God in an absolute sense, so you should submit to your husband in the same way. That's what some people think it means. That you should submit to your husband as to the Lord, and that defines the extent of your submission. Can I tell you something about that interpretation? It's wrong. There may be elements of it that are attractive, but it's wrong. Now, it's true that the wife owes the husband a great deal of respect. I mean, you find this, and I'm struck by the passage in 1 Peter. When Peter sets out the example of Sarah, and he praises Sarah, the wife of Abraham, when she called Abraham Lord. Now, that doesn't mean Lord in the sense of God, but Lord in the sense of master. That's a lot of respect. But it's not the same at all as saying that the wife is to regard her husband virtually as God and that she owes to her husband the same kind of submission that she owes to God. Now, how do we know that this isn't what Paul means? Well, because Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture. And we know that in no place does the Scripture say that a person should submit to another person in that way. In no place. Think about it as it applies just to the principle of submission. There are limits to the submission that the government can expect of you, right? The Bible commands us to submit to the government, are we correct? But if the government commands me to stop preaching the gospel, I'm not going to submit to that. If the government commands me to turn in my Bible, I'm not going to submit to that. I may pay the penalty, I may get arrested, whatever, but I'm not going to submit to it. There are limits to any realm of submission. So sure, the government might want to say, no, we stand in the place of God and you owe us complete submission. But we say no. Neither does a husband stand in the place of God. So let's get this straight right here. Husbands, you're not God. And your wife doesn't owe you the same kind of submission, the same kind of absolute obedience that the Scriptures say that we all owe towards God. So there are limits to the kind of submission that are expected between a wife and a husband. In no place does the Scripture teach an unqualified, without exception, submission except to God and to God alone, and to violate this is to commit the sin of idolatry. There may be some wives who submit to their husbands as if their husband was God. That wife is guilty of the sin of idolatry. And so friends, this is not what Paul talks about when he says as to the Lord. He doesn't mean that this is the extent of a wife's submission. Well, there's another interpretation of this that sort of favors the wife. And it says that as to the Lord means I'll submit to my husband as long as he does what the Lord wants. And then it's the wife's job to decide what the Lord wants. I mean, honestly, isn't that how it practically works? This kind of thinking defines as to the Lord to be the limit of a wife's submission. Okay, the wife says, I have to submit to my husband, but only as he's in the Lord. When he's not in God's will, I don't have to submit to him anymore. Now, that's wrong as well. It's true that there are limits to a wife's submission, and we're going to discuss some of those limits specifically in a few moments. But when the wife approaches the phrase, as to the Lord, in this way, then it just degenerates into a case of, I'll submit to my husband when I agree with him. I'll submit to my husband when he makes the right decisions and when he carries them out the right way. But when he makes a wrong decision, when he doesn't carry out the decision the right way, well, then he's not in the Lord anymore. He's not in God's will, and I'm only supposed to submit to him as to the Lord, so I won't submit to him then. You see, my friends, can I tell you why that's wrong biblically? Simply put, because that's not submission at all. It's not submission at all to say, I'll submit to you when I agree with you. The only person I'm submitting to then is myself. Because as long as you do what I think you should do, I'll submit. But the minute my opinion varies from your opinion, I'll follow my opinion. Except for those people who are just plain cantankerous and argumentative, and there's some of those out there, everybody submits to other people's when they're in agreement. But it's only when there's a disagreement that submission is tested, right? That's when you see whether or not a person is submissive. It is when you say X and they say Y, but you say, God put you in this place of word of authority, I'll support you in this. I should let you know that I disagree with you. I should let you know that I don't think this is the way to go, but you're the authority. I'll support you completely. Let's go forward. And let's just trust that God works it out. That's submission. So friends, as to the Lord does not define the extent of a wife's submission, nor does it define the limit of a wife's submission. As to the Lord defines the motive of a wife's submission. Look at it there, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It simply means this. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands because it's part of your duty to the Lord. It's part of your submission to the Lord. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands and do it in this way. Do it as a part of your submission to the Lord. You're not doing it primarily for your husband. You're doing it primarily for the Lord himself. You're doing it for Jesus' sake. You're doing it because you know it pleases him when you do it. Can I put it down on a very down-to-earth level here? Wives, when you submit to your husband, you're fulfilling your Christian obligation. It's part of your Christian behavior. It's part of your discipleship. Now, if submission to your husband is part of your Christian life, if it's just one of those things that pleases Jesus Christ, and friends, and again, I almost hesitate. This, when I think about saying this in my mind, it sounds strong, but I think it's biblical. I just got to let it fly here. Wives, when you do not obey this word to submit to your husbands as to the Lord, you aren't just falling short as a wife. You're falling short as a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know how else to say it. It's part of your obligation as a follower of Jesus Christ to submit to your husband. Now, do you see how this lifts submission out of the world's way of thinking and lifts it to a completely different realm? This means that submission to your husband has nothing to do, first of all, it has nothing to do with your personality. Isn't that the way some of us deal with the issue of submission? Well, you know, sure, they submit. They're just that way. Me, I'm not that way. And so, you know, fine, God bless them, let them do it. That's for, well, you know, I'm just not like that. Well, I'm looking for it here. Wives, submit to your own husbands if it's your way. If that's your personality. Now, I searched high and low through the ancient Greek manuscripts. You're not going to find that anywhere in there. You submit to your own husbands as to the Lord because it's your obligation as a follower of Jesus Christ. So it takes it completely out of the realm of my nature or my personality. It also means that it has nothing to do with your husband's intelligence or giftedness or capability. Isn't this a big stumbling block? A wife looks at her husband and she knows that she is more capable in a certain area than he is. And the fact of the matter is, she is more capable there. And she sees her husband wanting to do something that's harebrained. Now, look at it here, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands unless they're going to do something really stupid. It doesn't say that. It says, do it as unto the Lord. It's part of your Christian obligation. When God says that this is why women should submit, it means basically if that gifted, brilliant woman, if she's not submitting to her own husband, she's sinning. It has nothing to do whether or not your husband's right on a particular issue. It has to do with whether or not Jesus is right. Friends, do you see that this is completely different than how the culture says submission should be practiced? Here's a woman, and she's explaining it to the people she works with, and maybe some of the ladies at work. They're sitting around a table, and she's discussing a particular issue or a particular matter in their marriage, and she's submitting to her husband in that. And her friends at the table, they're just blinking their eyes. They can't believe it. And they say, well, why on earth are you submitting to your husband on this? Is he smarter or more capable in this area than you are? And the Christian woman says, no, he's not. He's not smart. He's not more capable in this area at all. And so they blink again. I can't understand this. We'll say, well, no, I know what it is then. You're submitting to your husband in this area because he's really got you under his thumb. He's promised that he's going to make life miserable for you. He's got power over you because that's why we submit, right? In response to power over us. We have to be coerced in it. That's the issue, right? And she blinks her eyes and says, no, that's not it at all. My husband isn't coercive towards me one bit. Now the ladies are really confused. Then why on earth are you submitting to him here? And the Christian woman simply replies and she says, because it glorifies Jesus Christ. I'm doing it as to the Lord. That's my motive. It's part of my behavior as a Christian. And I know it seems crazy from the outside, but I believe it gives glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And glorifying him is more important than my individual needs, my individual desires. I believe that God will take care of me if I do what honors him. That's a testimony, isn't it? It's a very powerful testimony. My friends, if you want to please Jesus, if you want to honor him, then submit to your own husband as to the Lord. What a compelling motive for action this is. Every woman who's concerned about pleasing Jesus Christ must have a passion to submit to her own husband. This is part of your Christian life. But shouldn't we also say that this makes a huge difference in how a woman chooses her husband? Oh, that matters a great deal, doesn't it? I want to speak just for a moment to the single ladies here. Or to the parents who are trying to raise their daughters and giving them the expectation of what kind of man they should look for. Ladies, this is what God is going to require of you in marriage. So that means when you're looking for a man to marry, number one, don't look for an attractive man. Number one, don't look for a wealthy man. Number two, don't look for a romantic man. If you can get those things, wonderful. But first and foremost, you better find a man that you can respect. Because this is what God's going to require of you. Now, if he can be attractive and wealthy and romantic on top of all that, well then, praise God, you found yourself something very wonderful. What are you going to do with that wealthy, attractive man? And you can't respect him. And God says to you, you need to submit to him. It's part of your Christian obedience to submit to him. And you're not going to want to do it, right? You're going to introduce a huge amount of suffering and difficulty into your life because you married a man for the wrong reasons. You didn't look first and foremost for a man you can respect. And not that even with that, submission is going to be easy. No, there's going to be times when it's difficult. Friends, no woman, no matter what her gifts, has a right to even contemplate marrying a man unless she's prepared to submit to him in the way that the Bible says that she should. So friends, let me take a quick look at two other aspects here that sort of illustrate what Paul's talking about. First of all, look in verse 23, where he talks about the husband being the head of the wife. It says, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he also is the Savior of the body." Now, we'll talk about this much more next week, but I want to just touch on one thing. Paul is using an illustration here of a body, a complete body, and then he's saying there's a head and there's a body part to that body. Well, he says in the analogy that he's painting, the husband is the head and the wife is the body. So here you go. The husband's ahead here. Now you see the interrelation between the two. First of all, a body has to have a head. If it doesn't have a head, it's a monstrosity. If it has two heads, it's a grotesque thing as well. And at the same time, every part needs each other, right? What good is it if you have everything from the neck down if you don't have everything from the neck up? You got to have both. But this teaches us as well, this illustration, that submission does not mean sheer passivity. Oh, I think this is a very important thing for both men and women to get a grasp of. Many people think that passivity is submission. Well, I'll submit. I'll just be passive. That is not biblical submission, my friends. Look at the example of Jesus Christ. Was he passive towards God the Father? No! He was active, engaging in fellowship and communication and vital relationship. It wasn't just, okay, God, just whatever you want to do. Okay, sirrah, sirrah, I'll submit. No! He was on his knees with bloody sweat before God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but if not, nevertheless, thy will be done. And then bravely and gloriously embracing the difficulty of the situation. That's submission. Submission isn't silence. Friends, what happens if the body stops communicating with the head? You've got real difficulty, don't you? You have disease. What happens with the head stops communicating with the body? Then you have trouble too, don't you? See, there has to be a constant flow of communication. The body should never act independently of the head. And when that happens medically, we call it a convulsion or a seizure. The body's off doing its own thing, but not in coordination with the head. So if the body refuses to act under the head, there's disease. If the body delays in acting under the head, there's disease. If the body acts before the head, there's disease. But the body is to communicate and inform the head all the time. The head is always the head, the body is always the body, but there has to be cooperation and a common goal and communication one between the other. There's no sense of inferiority. There's just coordinated action. Secondly, we're really compelled to understand the limits of submission when we take a look here at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Look at it there. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I see some of the men who like to mark in their Bibles furiously underlining the words in everything. And say, well, see, honey, well, no, look, let's look here. Let's understand. We understand the Scriptures in light of the Scriptures, don't we? And when the Scripture makes a sweeping general statement like that, it always expects us to interpret it in light of its own teaching. So friends, again, like we mentioned before, there are limits to a wife's submission, aren't there? There's exceptions. So what are the exceptions to everything? Let me give you four. Four exceptions to a wife's submission. Number one, when the husband asks or expects the wife to sin. Wives, you don't have to submit to that. Period. It's getting to be tax time, isn't it? So here's a good example. The husband fills out the tax form, and the wife knows that it's fraudulent. The wife knows that the husband's cheating on his taxes, and he puts it down in front of his wife and says, here, we need to both sign this. Sign right here. Wife, you have every right before God in the world. You have the responsibility before God to say, I will not sign that. It's a lie, and I'm not going to put my name down to a lie. I'm not going to cheat on the taxes with you. Husband, you're wrong for suggesting, for asking. You're wrong for cheating on your taxes, period. But for trying to bring your wife into collusion with you, that's even worse. Wife, you before God, you are not called to submit to that sin. No. The Bible says very clearly that you need to pay your taxes. It says very clearly not to lie, not to cheat. So make your stand, wife. The Bible backs you up. It doesn't matter all day long if your husband shakes Ephesians 5:22 in your face and say, well, submit, woman. He's trying to get you to do something that's sin, and you're not required to sin. It's also true in matters of true Christian conscience. Right? I mean, there may be something that's not specifically biblical, but it's a matter of deep Christian conscience before you. Not mere opinion. I'm not talking about mere opinion, ladies. I'm talking about true Christian conscience. So when the husband asks the wife to sin, you don't have to obey that. Secondly, I think we would say that this exception to submission is when the husband is medically incapacitated or perhaps insane or mentally diminished. I mean, honestly speaking, there are men who have either times or seasons of their life where they're under this difficulty of mental illness or they've gone insane or they're medically incapacitated. If under that kind of state that the husband commands the wife to do something absolutely crazy, well, she's not under biblical obligation to submit. This is an obvious exception to this. Let me give you a third case of an exception to everything. It's when the husband and it's almost embarrassing to say that to think that this needs to be said to Christians. But an exception to submission is when the husband is physically abusive to his wife. Now, friends, if you think that the Bible commands a wife to be a punching bag for her husband and to submit to that, that's nowhere in the idea of the Bible's teaching. The Bible teaches that anybody has the opportunity, the right to defend themselves, to preserve themselves from such harm. And men, if you do that to your wife, you need to run, not walk, to get some help in your life. There's something going on that you need help with desperately. And that kind of sin against your wife, your God, your home, it needs to be stopped immediately. But wives, don't think for a moment that the Bible calls you to submit to physical abuse from your husband. Not for a moment. So I've listed three exceptions to everything. First of all, when the husband asks the wife to sin. Number two, when the husband's medically or mentally incapacitated. Number three, when the husband is physically abusive to the wife. And then now a final one, number four, when the husband breaks the marriage bond by adultery. Obviously, then a wife does not have to submit to her husband's adultery. She doesn't have to stand back and just accept it. The Bible says that she has the right to come out from under his rank in such cases. Husband has no right to say, well, I'm going to do this if I want to, wife, and you just have to submit to it. No, the Bible says, wife, you don't have to submit to it. The wife says the Bible says that God has given the wife the right to divorce her husband in such cases. That she doesn't have to be under his rank, under submission to him in that case. Because the husband's broken the unity. He's gone out of the unity of the marriage. So we must not interpret the scripture as teaching that the wife is irrevocably, inevitably bound to an adulterous husband to the rest of her life. She can choose, if she wants, to end that marriage, and the Bible will back her up on that. So you see, my friends, there are these exceptions to the idea of submitting to everything. But what we all recognize is that day in and day out, the way most marriages work, these four exceptions don't come into play very often, do they? Friends, it's a huge responsibility put on the shoulders of our wives. Think about it, men. Just think about it for a minute. How would you like to submit to yourself? That's tough to think about, isn't it? Someone who's a clone of you, and you have to submit to them. That's no picnic, is it? Friends, God's called us as men to understand that this is a spiritual battle for our wives. It isn't just all, you know, oh, well, that's just how my wife is. No, but whatever difficulty she has in this, perhaps in her nature or character, you know that Satan is trying to exploit it and inflame it all the way. This is a spiritual issue for your wife. You need to pray for her. You need to lift her up. You need to show warmth and compassion towards her if she's having difficulty in this issue. Not becoming embittered against her. No, never. And wives, perhaps you feel that you've lost all respect for your husband. Perhaps you look at that man and say, what, I have to submit to this? This? Well, wives, let me suggest that you think back to why you originally married that man. There may have been many factors in play as to why you married him, but it's probably true that you respected him more then than you do now. Can't that respect be restored? Aren't there good qualities still in there in some way or another? Wives, nonetheless, whether you can nurture that respect back or not, it's an obligation before the Lord. So recognize that Jesus is there to help you. He's your ultimate example of submission. He doesn't expect anything more from you than what he demonstrated on this earth. Didn't Jesus do it all? Didn't he show us this way of submission? And we can believe and trust that God will bless you as you put your heart to do this. When we obey God, he blesses us. He blesses us when we do that. So friends, let the Lord nourish your heart in this. He's put a lot in our thinking, a lot in our plate. Next week, we'll consider the reasons for a wife's submission. And I know it's going to be a valuable time together too. And then after that, well, we get into the men. Wives, do not despair. The Bible speaks to the men as well. But it speaks to the wives. And let's let the Lord just sink it down deeply in our hearts together. Let's pray together right now. Father, we ask that this morning you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand the depth and the power of your word on this very controversial issue. Father, I pray that everybody here, whether they've disagreed or agreed with what I've had to say, I pray that you would bring us all to the Scriptures and just help us to understand what your Word says. Lord, I recognize that my opinions or anybody else's opinions, it's not that important. But what your Word says is of infinite importance. So, Lord, we all want to submit ourselves to your Word here this morning. And I pray that you would strengthen every wife who in her heart, Lord, wants to fulfill this command. I pray, Lord, that you would help her to do it and to do it with the right kind of heart. I pray too, Lord, that you would make us as men, leaders and heads in our home that are much easier and much more pleasant to submit to. God, forgive us for being such terrible leaders so often and making it far more of a burden than it should be for our wives to fulfill this command. Help us with this, Lord. Help us as men and help our wives. Most of all, Lord, help us to all submit to Jesus Christ this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.